This is the second Aquarimax Live Hangout. It corresponds to episode 204. So right now, we are chatting with Sean in Asheville, North Carolina. Welcome, Sean.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Awesome.
We may have some others join us a little later on. We had sort of an attempt with Mick in Carnforth, UK. It didn't quite work, and we're hoping that he'll be able to join us a little later. But for now, we're gonna proceed. So we talked a little bit with Sean off the air, and he's gonna talk to us a little bit about his adventures with dirted tanks, essentially the Wallstedt method. So
I've been out of aquarium keeping for quite a while, was working one day when an advertisement came in from Amazon saying, 9-gallon tank, looked pretty slick. I hadn't been keeping tanks in forever, so decided I'd go ahead and get it. And essentially the dirt tank method, or the Wallstedt method, in case anybody doesn't know, is essentially a planted tank that substrate is topsoil covered with sand. And then like 70% of the bottom covered with plants planted, at least 70%. I went ahead and did that, and it started off really well. The aquariums mostly took care of themselves. Essentially the 9-gallon aquarium, I didn't do any water changes on probably, I don't know, actually initially the first month or so I was doing water changes because there's lots of interesting growth. So you mentioned last week, about somebody was talking about the wood with the gel sort of stuff happening on it. Yeah. And I had some of that. And so I was just kind of going in there and sucking that out of there and that sort of thing, but mostly not doing much with it. And then after that first month of mucking about with the stuff that was growing, let it go for, I don't know, probably 4 months before I did a water change.
Wow.
And everybody was doing gangbusters. Plants were growing, doing really well. I had, those Dania margaritatis, those celestial pearl Danios in there, plus some red cherry shrimp. And then a bunch of crips and some, and I'm going to pronounce it wrong because I'm reading the Anubis Gates right now. Is it Anubis?
Anubis, yeah.
Yeah. And some Java fern. Lately I've got another 75 behind me that's not super beautiful right now, but it's, and the office is a mess. But the plants grow like crazy, the macros. But I've been having algae problems lately, hair algae. And my suspicion is in that tank that it's actually the quarries digging down through the sand into the dirt and kicking up nutrients into the water column. And I've got a Magnum 350. Canister filter on with a little micron filter to hopefully get, at least the particulates out of the water column.
Right.
But I'm kind of stuck there with the algae problem. So I've thought about tearing it down and starting it from scratch. My previous experience with the dirt tank was, putting down a layer of soil and then really covering it with just a thin enough layer of sand to keep the soil down. But in this tank, the quarries are, and this is the first time I've kept quarries ever, and they just really love digging in the sand. I'm glad I didn't get a spiny nose eel. This is like super mess.
That dive into the...
Yeah.
Straight at like 50 miles an hour.
Exactly. Exactly. And then they really force themselves with their tail, I guess, going this way. Well, that would have been a mess. But so I'm just trying to come up with ideas of what to do. I tried Excel, and that actually killed off my corkscrew valve to a certain extent. I had this huge lush you can see actually in the on this side. That used to be like really lush Corkscrew Valley over there, and it's really thinned out. I think it's going to grow back, but they died off a bit. But yeah, so the Excel, I think, killed that off. And it killed off a lot of the hair algae, and I've been clipping back all the other vegetation, trying to get any hair algae that's on that off, and then just tossing that vegetation. So anyhow, I'd be interested to know if you have any suggestions on the hair algae situation, and I'm open to anything and all, including tearing the tank down completely and starting over.
What do you think if you took the chlorine out with that?
Well, that would be my first thing that I'd try, probably, is taking the quarries out, because I agree. I think they're getting the nutrients up and out of the substrate and into the water column where all the algae can take advantage of it.
Right.
So I would, if you have another tank you could put them in, I might try that.
Right.
A little less desperate than taking down the whole thing.
Whoops, sorry about that.
That's all right. Second. I gotta say, the tank actually looks really nice from here. We can't really see the hair algae. We can just see the general setup and how it looks really nice.
So, well, good. That's good to know. I should just always put it in soft focus. And, everybody like it. But yeah, I mean, really, I mean, the general gist of this, the reason I chose this method of doing things is that after I got the tank, way back in the day, I think it was, the early 90s, I kept my first plant tank. And I was doing a DIY, yeast
reactor,
CO2 injector, and I had it actually going. I had a hang-on back filter and had a little airline tube going up into that, and it was dripping the CO2 into that, and it would hit the impeller and just disappear.
Right.
So I didn't need any fancy diffusers. I didn't even know about diffusers at the time. And so I wanted to do the similar thing with less effort, and so did a little research and came up with that. And really, it's pretty hands-off. I mean, there's no CO2 in that or anything. It's just I put together those LED lights and actually it does have that Magnum on it. It shouldn't really need it, but I've been doing that for pretty much from the get-go to keep the stuff from clouding.
Right.
But yeah, it's a bummer about the quarries because I really enjoy them. They're fun to watch. And actually, there's probably 20 of them in there now. So I might have to. And they keep having babies too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll kind of watch while we talk. If I see any babies, I'll stick a camera on it.
Okay. I've noticed you got angelfish in there. I'm surprised that you get a lot of quarry babies surviving that. But.
Well, I mean, you can see how dense it's planted, and so there's a lot of places that the angels can't get.
That's true. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I usually don't even see them till they're about that big,
And they just show up in there.
Exactly.
What species of quarries do you have?
It's the pepper quarry.
Okay.
Can't remember the genus species.
They've changed it several times too.
Yeah, off the top of my head. But anyhow, it's cool. It's a little quarry baby factory.
That's cool. I've always wanted to do quarry babies, and I've had them spawn for me, but it's never been in a situation where I could raise them. So.
Right. Yeah, and I really don't do anything special. They just, I guess they sink or swim on their own. But many of them survive. So.
I guess that's the way to do it. Just have a super densely planted tank and.
Right.
Yeah, I've got some pygmy quarries at work in a little 5-gallon. There's about 9 of them in there, and by themselves. Well, there's some cherry shrimp in there. But
that's cool.
It's probably 90% Java moss on the bottom, and I'm hoping that eventually they'll spawn. But
right. The pygmy quarries, I've never seen them in real life. The pictures I've seen all show them swimming in the water column. Do they dig in the bottom much?
They do spend a lot of time on the bottom, but they're in the water column a lot more than other quarries.
Okay.
They remind me almost of hummingbirds, because they sort of hover.
Huh.
So tiny, and you'll see, especially in the morning or after a water change or something, they'll all go up in the water column and zip around the tank and do these little circles.
Huh.
Morning
cool.
Constitutional.
Yeah.
Exercise
that way.
Right. So, yeah, I guess I could get rid of the quarries, but that would be sad.
It would be sad, because quarries are a lot of fun. They have a lot of personality.
Do you have anything else to put them in?
Not really. I mean, I guess I do. I've got this, I was trying my hand at and rearing the Celestial Pearl Danios, and I haven't been keeping up with that. So I could put them in that tank, but they would be crowded. Yeah, I've got a 20 and a 10 set up for doing that. And the problem is with this area with no other fish keepers, it's like you put something on Craigslist saying free plants, free fish, and everybody's like, you know, crickets.
And no local fish store that'll take anything?
Exactly. So there's no local fish store. The local fish store is PetSmart and whatever the other chain is.
Okay. So, yeah, and most of those won't take anything.
Yeah, there was a local fish store and he closed. I was bummed shortly after. I reignited my passion.
Oh, just that's missed sad. It, huh?
Exactly. And he's actually still open. He just stopped carrying fish.
Oh.
Yeah.
Flies?
Right. So he's just all... actually moving towards mammals. He's got a few lizards and things, but mostly dogs and cats and yeah.
Okay. Well, that's sad. It seems like there's lately been losing out in fish. It's becoming some things at least, some like our local fish forum that we have here, for the general, you know, area, is it used to be a lot more popular, a lot more people on it, and in the last, I don't know, year or so, there's just fewer and fewer people.
Interesting.
So I don't know if that's a general trend, but I've heard other things that tend to indicate that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting. You know, I hear about, and I see it here, you know, just there's so many more, you know, exciting, in-your-face alternatives to fish keeping. Like video games in our house with our kids. I play video games myself, but when I was a kid, I got into it by going to the National Aquarium, and I just was stoked by the thought of keeping aquariums after that. But the kids here, you know, I keep aquariums, and my oldest one will look at them occasionally and hang on just a sec. Somebody's coming in the house. They're going straight upstairs. Okay. Anyhow, sorry. I was going to attempt to mute, but right after that, I tried to figure out, you know, how I was going to get my first aquarium, and got a friend of ours was selling them, got a couple metaframes, and set those up, 10 and a 15, and those were my, you know, initial aquariums for a long time, and then got a job at the local fish store to support my habit when I was 13, yeah.
Well, my habit. That's what it is.
Exactly. And between my brother and myself, we had like 11 aquariums in our bedroom. Oh. It was insane. It was just blah, 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 blah. Constant bubbling. But with the video games and stuff today, it's hard to look at an aquarium and like, you know, grasp all the intricacies and stuff because it's not banging you over the head with it.
Right.
No, I think that's part of what's really nice about it, though. I mean, everything is so fast and so in your face in life today. I think people need to slow down.
Right. Exactly. And to me, you know, there's tons of beauty and complexity and interesting stuff to look at, which is why I like freshwater. I've kept saltwater too, but the freshwater, it's so much easier if you don't have a 1,000-gallon aquarium to replicate what's actually going on in nature and see the actual behaviors that these animals have, you know, in the field. You know, you can get the breeding and the territorialness and that you can't, at least my experience, you can't really get with salt water.
And an interesting thing, I think aquariums were the first place that people really were able to do that in terms of the animal.
Interesting. Didn't know that.
Unfortunately, this is where there was technical difficulty and we got cut off. Thank you for joining us, and we'll do this again. The live hangout shows seem to be pretty popular, so until next time, may the fish be with you.